The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and United Airlines.
Hi, everyone. The offseason is ticking down. 2 more weeks to go before the Bears report to Bourbon A. Zach Zaidman joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer, as well as former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, our new sponsor of the show. We'd like to welcome them for helping us out and look forward to this fantastic partnership. We're on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, 312-644-6767 is the phone number. A lot to talk about before we get to that two-week period where the Bears report. Let's start with what happens at the tail end of this week. Friday is the deadline for the Bears and Alshon Jeffrey to reach a new long-term deal. And if they don't, that means Jeffrey will play under the franchise tag tender for 2016. And then you go into another offseason where who knows what's going to happen. And for that, let's bring in Jim right now. And Jim, can you kind of explain the new way of thinking around the NFL? Because it's not just the Bears with Jeffrey. We're seeing it with the Broncos and Von Miller and how teams are dealing with players who have been tagged.
Yeah, I think, again, when you look at John Elway and just how he's conducted himself here this offseason, right? They let Brock Osweiler go. He ends up signing with the Houston Texans because, you know, there was just a certain value at that position, the quarterback position, which is probably one of the highest priority positions in the NFL, that John Elway wasn't willing to go. Understanding that you have other players on your team, whether it was Derek Wolfe, who got a new contract, defensive end out there. He already understood they had to let Malik Jackson go. He was just going to be too high-priced in free agency. Danny Trevathan, he knew it was going to cost pretty good money. The Bears end up signing Danny Trevathan. So John Elway then signs Brandon Marshall, gives him, you know, basically a $50 million deal. So there's only so much money to go around. So he had to be financially disciplined at the quarterback position in order to try and get this long-term contract done with Von Miller. You know, they led the league in sacks last year, certainly being the MVP of Super Bowl 50. Von Miller and his sack totals, which were 17.5, everybody acknowledges his impact in the Denver Broncos defense. So in order to get a long-term contract done, you slap the franchise tag on him because it's going to give a minimum of a guaranteed money and you ensure that you're keeping this great player on your roster. By the CBA, you have till July 15th to work on a long-term deal, and it sounds like the Broncos are close to getting a long-term deal done. What went from $58 million in guaranteed, now another offer has been extended to Von Miller for $61 million. He will be the highest-paid Denver Bronco in franchise history and one of the highest-paid players in the National Football League other than a certain quarterback that just signed in Indianapolis. So, but to me, this is a fair offer by John Elway. They're, you know, and he has put all other contracts on hold when you look at Emmanuel Sanders and other players that are on this roster because he knows the importance of Von Miller, who has already declared that he wants to be a Bronco for life. I don't see Von Miller turning this deal down. How can you? If he says he's going to sit out all of training camp, does he realistically think a team next year is going to give him now what will be $75 million in guaranteed money? Because he'd lose the $14 million that's already guaranteed under this year's franchise tag. He'd have to make that up next year with a new team.
Now, closer to home, Jim, we've got Alshon Jeffrey, who has signed his franchise tag tender. He's not talking about holding out, but clearly the sides have been apart in terms of the negotiations. What do you think is the issue between the Bears and Jeffrey?
I think I know we've talked about it. To me, it's injuries. You know, plus, he's the insurance policy to really see how Kevin White gets up and running. I mean, we have yet to see Kevin White, first-round pick out of West Virginia a year ago, to get on the field. I mean, God forbid if he were to go down week one. Now you have the insurance policy of Alshon Jeffrey, who sporadically has had some tremendous games. I mean, I think we all see that. When he's on the field, great things happen with Alshon Jeffrey. So it's the bumps, the bruises, the nicks where, you know, you, other deals that are out there like Dez Bryant and some of the top-tier contracts that are out there, the Bears are probably apprehensive. Hey, do we really want to pay this player that type of top-tier money in the $14 million a year range, especially guaranteed when a player doesn't line up all 16 games. You know, not lining up all 16 games, that's no different than being suspended or any other issues. You know, you're not available for your team. And that's what you're paying that money for, is for those plays to be out there week in and week out. So I think that is really what is holding this up.
You know, Jim and Zach, I think when you talk about the contracts long-term or, you know, trying to figure out what they can do from Alshon, is they know what his ability can be when he is healthy, when the scenario is perfectly set for him. But you're also paying for attitude. So is there any reflection of an attitude that they're less than satisfied with when they're trying to get a long-term deal done? Because if you have a player that comes to an organization that is a model citizen, that shows his value not only in the on the game day field, but on the practice field, in the meeting room, in the weight room, in the cafeteria, in the locker room, and his leadership skills. I think that's part of the evaluation process, too, when you're looking to attach a long-term contract to a player that they know has ability. They know he can be a Pro Bowl receiver. And I think Jay Cutler has proved it, you know, every time that he is on the field, that he is a go-to receiver. But when you're a head coach, or you're a general manager, or you're a position coach, you need to look into the eyes of that player and understand he has the attitude of a champion that is going to be a great reflection to every other position in every other player in that locker room and on that team.
Wasn't he? I mean, granted, we saw him very briefly this offseason when he was required to be there, he was. And that was during the mandatory minicamp, the three-day session, which closed out the Bears offseason program. But when we saw him on the field, and granted, Tom, they're not in pads, so it's not a true indicator of what you're going to see in games. But he brought it, and he looked like he was the best offensive player on the field. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, what did John Fox say? When you're in pajamas? You know, that's not what you're looking for, Zach. You're looking for a guy that is putting in extreme effort in the off season to make sure that he's 100% healthy. And you look at the different injuries that Alshon had, whether it be a calf, whether it be a groin issue, or whether it be a hamstring, or whatever the issues are that you have, a multiple issues in your lower body, you need to see those things cleared up. And you need to be able to have a guy that you can count on to being there for Wednesday, Thursday practices each week. Yeah, you know, all Friday it's a little bit more short yardage and goal line, that type of offense. However, you got to be full go. You got to be ready to go out there and be on the field. And, you know, it's really important for the success of Dow Loggins, the new offensive coordinator, to make sure that when he's putting his game plan together, that it includes Alshon Jeffrey in every way, shape, or form. From being a blocker downfield, which Alshon has always done. That's one thing I admire about him, is he is willing to go downfield and throw some blocks, whether it be the outside running game or for other underneath passes that are thrown in his direction. So we have seen signs of brilliance. But that's not what you need. You need signs of off-season work ethic that pertains to being the 16-game-a-year Pro Bowl player that you're going to expect out of him when he lines up on the field.
Well, all I know is, and you can verify this, Tom, because you were there, he appeared to be in shape. You know, you can tell when a guy has not put in the work during the offseason. It's clear that he was working on his body. Now, granted, the key is, as Jim said, the availability for 16 full games and not to have things that nag and force you to miss practice
time.
Well,
think about that from an ownership standpoint. It's just dollars and cents. Let's say a contract offer, it puts him in the stratosphere. Let's just use Dez Bryant, $14 million a year. Okay, and you're paying that $14 million a year for the next 6 years, and he lines up for seven games a year. Let's say that's his average. You're still paying that $14 million bucks a year. Now, do you think that's a good return on the investment if you're the McCaskies or the Bears? Of course not. I think that, you know, they really want to see it again from Alshon Jeffrey. He needs to prove that he can stay healthy.
You know, Zach, I will never determine a player's ability, their worth, their physical conditioning in an OTA offseason no-pad practice. Give me a practice when they're at the latter stages of a practice in a two-minute drill, when it's 95 degrees at Kankakee, you're surrounded by the fans, and how quickly can you get into position? How well are you running your routes? Are you separating or high-pointing playing the football that we've seen you do in the past. That's the evaluation process you need to see in every single drill that's filmed, and you're going to be able to go into the meeting room and watch those, and then you're going to be able to evaluate effort and consistency.
I've got great news for you, Tom. 2 weeks from this weekend, you're going to get your wish. They're going to put the pads on, and we're going to see it for real out there on the practice field in Bourbonnais. Coming up next, one of Tom's former teammates, a big name, joins us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screed. And Inside the Bears airs every weekend on My50 and Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. And this week on Inside the Bears, an encore presentation, Zach Miller chronicles his road to NFL success after being detoured by injury. Sam Acho delivers cheer to kids at a Park Ridge hospital, plus Spice Adams and safety Chris Brzezinski explore the benefits of hot yoga. Inside the Bears, airing Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My 50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. And again, you can watch show segments online anytime at chicagobears.com. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. And joining us now on the program, there's so much to talk about with this guy. It's one of Tom's former teammates, the linebacker Otis Wilson, joins us now here on the show. And Otis, before we get to all the good stuff, I want a good story about your years practicing with Tom Thayer on the other side. I want the best Tom Thayer story you've got.
Do we have that much time?
We don't have it, Otis.
Tom's probably cringing right now.
Tom's always one of those guys that was in perfect condition, a perfect specimen. I mean, had biceps that was bulging and calves that looked like somebody bought them from Arnold Schwarzenegger's gym. And he worked hard, and he always liked to put guys on his back. The one bad thing about that was, he always held people. He never, he was a holder.
Hey, Big O, I want to backtrack a couple weeks in the passing of defensive coordinator Buddy Ryan. Can you give us a snippet of your rookie year with Buddy Ryan, and how did you become attached to Buddy Ryan, and how did he attach himself to you?
Well, first of all, you know, it's the game of football lost a great football mind, but I didn't, when I first got it, I did not think Buddy Ryan liked me at all. I mean, number one, you get attached to him by a number, not a name. He called you by your number, and he demanded excellence. He demanded, he always told me, he said, rookies get you beat. So until you learn what you're supposed to do, you're going to stand over here next to me. And if you stand here too long, that little grocery store job down in Lake Forest, you'll be working over there. And, I mean, he just hounded me. He just hounded everyone in reference to, you know, and he just beat you down. But what he told me at the end, he said, Otis, just because I treat all of you like I treat my kids, just because I beat you don't mean I don't love you. And once you admitted that you can be wrong and you got beat or you didn't make the tackle, you stood up for it, you named it, you claimed it, and you understood what you would do, he was very, very loyal to you. I mean, and then finally, you know, you were in his club. I mean, you were accepted by him. He looked at you and give you that smile. You knew you were one of the boys.
Otis, Jim Miller here. Good to talk to you again, my friend.
And it was good to talk to you, my brother.
Well, let's, you look at the challenges of John Fox year two. Vic Fangio, Bears fans are getting acquainted with this 3-4 defense. Last year had to play guys out of position. And, here in year two, they get some guys that fit the interior of a 3-4 defense. And I don't know if you can take us back of how Buddy installed his defenses, what it was like for you guys from year one to year two with what he was trying to accomplish.
Well, Buddy, you know, Buddy was very meticulous in the players that he picked and that he wanted to play his system because he knew what he wanted to do. The offense is different now. They're wide open. They spread out. They throw the football. Back in our day, it was a little tighter. So You know, Buddy put that 9-8 man front up there. We played 4-3 base defense, but then we played over and under sometime, and then he switches into the famous 46. And, you know, with guys like Richard, Dan Hampton, myself, Mike Singletary, Wilbur Marshall, I don't have to go down that list because I think we all know those are the kind of players that he wanted that was, you know, athletic and smart and really in his defense, he take a lot of gambles. I mean, when you have athletes like that, you can gamble because when you get beat, you know, it's a touchdown. But sometimes, you know, we all make crazy plays. I mean, when you look at the film, you think about, like, how in the heck did I make that play or how did he make that play? You run it back 5 or 6 times, and I think it was just he methodically picked who he wanted, how he wanted it. He broke them down. He got everybody to understand how to play together. And it was just aggressive, you know, blessed athletes.
And you were the main blitzer in regards to that 46 defense. So you had, 10.5 sacks in the championship season of 1985. And you were able to take advantage within the framework of what Buddy Ryan was trying to do. So how did you get from a point where you weren't sure if he trusted you to clearly a point where later on in your career he trusted you to do the dirty work, the main stuff in regards to this defense?
Well, God's honest truth, I'll tell you a big secret. He gave us an exam every Saturday night, and if you didn't pass that exam, you wanted to go to play.
Seriously? Like a quiz? Like a pop quiz?
Yeah. It was like you were in school. He would give us an exam every Saturday. I mean, he'd give you your sheet, and if you didn't know what was on that sheet and you didn't respond back to the way you're supposed to, he knew you didn't know what you were doing. And that was his thing. He wanted to just know that you understood what everybody in that defense was doing, not just your responsibility. I knew what Hampton and the stunts those guys were doing up front. Me, Wilbur, and Singletary, we knew exactly what we were supposed to do, and I knew what the secondary were doing. And because really all we did was call AFC, automatic front and cover, and we attached, you know, the secondary call to it, whether it was a man or whether it was a zone. And we had that freedom. I mean, to Singletary came out there. He was really like an extension of Buddy's arm out there on the field. He watched so much film. Half the time, he would call out what the other team was running. We'd have to watch film. Hey, Singletary would call it out. Right over there, right over here, right over here. Huh. And you use the quarterback call timeout because he's like, how the heck these guys know what we're doing? All right. That liberty that we had in the front that everybody knew what everybody was doing.
Hey, Big O, so what is our, as a Bears fans, as we get ready to watch Leonard Floyd embark in his career, what are our realistic expectations of him as a rookie? Is it about knowing what the linebackers are doing or knowing what every other guy on the defense is doing?
Well, you know, you know, like Jim, everybody has to know what their responsibility is, and everybody has to do their responsibility. And what the great thing I like about the 34, because I would have loved to play at a 34. I mean, just being a strong side linebacker or a weak side, you come in, you contain in. It's not a whole lot of responsibilities, but yet I don't know what their, you know, what their system is, so I can't really speak on it a whole lot, but I do know what the 34 defense will present and the trouble that it can cause. And I think any athlete that come into the business, he has to be confident in himself. He has to be confident in the system that he's playing and be able to rely on that guy next to you. We are brothers for life. When we go into war, we go into battle, you got to know, Richard, you got my back, I got your back. And that makes for, you know, any team. When they gel like that, I don't care what you play. If you got 11 guys playing together hard and aggressive, you're going to make something happen.
Well, I think that's what stood out about those great defenses. One, you guys were all tough guys, and you loved to play football. And that type of attitude, you know, just to instill that type of attitude, I think last year the Bears did it by signing Pernell McPhee. I think he brings that type of demeanor and that attitude. I think Trevathan and the guys they've signed this offseason bring that type of attitude. You know, I don't know, just your opinion of modern-day players, because some guys don't come with that type of attitude.
And that's something that you have to be born with. I mean, you know, you can't teach that. I mean, a guy's attitude and his aggressiveness, you got to have that in you. But what you do teach is, I like what they're doing, getting athletic people out there on that defensive end and letting them go to work. And I think Fox is a great teacher of the game, but these guys have to be students of the game. But keep in mind again, too, now, this is a different generation. That aggressiveness and the way they play, you know, I don't see that in football today. But that's not to say that they can't be good at what they do and get out there and play the defense and just attack and keep attacking.
That's the cool thing about what Vic Fangio is installing right now with the Bears, and the fact that they brought in a linebacker in Danny Trevathan with championship experience. I'm sure you've heard him talk. We're talking with Otis Wilson. I'm sure you've heard Trevathan talk and Jarrell Freeman. They're saying the things you want to hear if you expect this defense to take that next step.
Well, and that's the key. You have to get people in that locker room that you guys can attest to this, that is committed to what they're doing and committed to win. I mean, you have to learn how to win, but you have to bring that attitude every day to work. And sometimes you might not feel like it, but you have to put whatever baggage you have on the side and go out there and, hey, say it's showtime. I got to perform. And once you get that in that defense, you guys might not agree with me, but defense win championship. I know you're an offensive guy. But if they don't score, they can't beat you.
You know, that's one of the great things about last year. The first day I got to watch Pernell McPhee go through training camp in full pads, he's a guy that has that 85 attitude. He's got a physical desire every day on the practice field to bring that tempo, Big O, that Buddy Ryan, Coach Ditka, and everybody expected out of us back then. And I think it was really important to bring in Pernell McPhee's attitude to really capture the attention of every other guy around him on that field.
Yeah, and you know, by you just saying that, Tom, just made me think about what Rex and Ryan was saying, you know, at the funeral. You know, we look for guys like you get what my dad had on that 85 team. We look for guys that are athletic. We look for guys that want to take no prisoners. And, you know, on the defense, that's what you have, those guys that's going to go get them, understand what the system is, understand what you're trying to accomplish, and go out there with that fire. And another good thing, too, a lot of guys have to not turn that motor off. You have to always have that motor on. You can't go 2 and 3 days at level 2 and then on Sunday expect to be at level 5. You have to constantly be turning that motor.
Well, how's your motor on the links? We know you've got your upcoming Harborside International golf outing July 28th. How's that intensity on the links treating you? How's your game?
He's a quick
Otis.
The game is kind of suffering right now because I just finished up my football camp, so I really haven't played a whole lot. We had, you know, a great 5 days, and you know, we had a lot of good athletes out there, some Chicago young, you know, some fine athletes here in Chicago. So now I'll get into the golf aspect of it, and we got a lot of good, you know, spots open. So there's folks out here listening that want to get involved. You know, they can just go to my website, Otis Wilson Charitable Association.org, and sign up. And, you know, there's a lot of the guys that, you know, Hampton, you know, Bo Jackson, Richard Dent will be helping, you know, coming out there. If you guys want to come out there on Thursday, you're more than welcome. Because you know how when you got big names out there, Tom, you're the biggest name in Chicago. Everybody wants to see you.
Now that Dwayne Wade's here, no more.
You know, so, yes, the golf outing is July 28th at Harborside. And, you know, we want to get out, raise money for these kids in the community and keep our kids happy, keep them safe, and keep them educated.
You know, Otis, you're an unbelievable host. You're one of the most congenial ex-Bears out there. But I will say Harborside is one of the nicest golf courses that's in a close proximity to the city. That's a great location to go out there, and I played it a number of times. And for the golfers out there that haven't had a chance to go out there and have the Harborside experience, go out there because you will enjoy it. It's a beautiful setup. It's got great views of the city looking back at it. And it, like I said, it's conveniently located. And I'm glad, you know, because a couple weeks ago when we had the alumni outing out at Strawberry Creek and everybody was there, that's the greatest thing about these events, is that the way the Bears and the athletes in Chicago, the way they treat the groupings that they're playing with, it's a great group of guys. And, you know, you're a credit to it, Otis, and the golf course, man, is outstanding.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, we got room, so come on, folks, and sign up. And, again, you guys are welcome. And you get a chance, like you said, Tom, you get a chance to rub shoulders with a lot of the 85 guys and, you know, hear some great stories. Steve McMichaels will be there. You know he loves to talk. Like to hear him, so, you know, so you folks out there in Chicago, come on out.
Hey, Otis, give the website again, just in case people are just tuning in the middle here and they want to find out how they can get together with you and many of these former players on July 28th.
It's the Otis Wilson Charitable Association.org. That's all you have to do. Go to there and just press that link that says special events, and you'll see the golf outing, and you can sign up on the website.
You know, Otis
Wilson Charitable Association.org.
All right, Otis Wilson Charitable Association.org. You know, it's a shame that it took the passing of Buddy Ryan for us to hear all these incredible stories over the last few weeks about the 85 team and you guys behind the scenes. But the memories are unbelievable. I know, Tom, Jim, we've had an opportunity to talk to a lot of guys over the last couple of weeks. Otis, what an amazing man Buddy Ryan was.
He was a great individual, a great defensive mind, but, you know, one of those guys, the most loyal person you can ever find. And, you know, you hate to, you know, it always seems like you get together on a bad note when you see guys like Doug Plank, you know, and, you know, Gary Fentick and Terry Schmidt, you know, Jim Osborne, and, you know, and guys that, you know, when I first came in 1980 that I played with for a few years. But, you know, we all came together and we had a great time.
Hold on, Otis, did I catch you right saying that, were you nervous taking those tests for Buddy?
No, I was nervous to, you know, the first year. I was nervous the first year. After that, you know, it was like second nature to me.
Great stuff. Otis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Otis.
Hey, I thank you. Hey, Tom, Jim, I think you guys do a great job of bringing football to us in Chicago. And let's go Bears. We need to get back to where we used to be.
Go Bears.
Sounds like a plan. Otis Wilson, the 85 Bears, spending some time with us here on Bears All Access. Tom, I didn't ask you, what's your best Otis Wilson story here as we go to break?
I think if you go to YouTube, if you ever look at the time that Lewis Lips tried to come around the corner when he was playing for the Steelers and block Otis, and he actually met Otis's forearm first, got Ooh. Knocked out, and they dragged him off the field. I think that's one of the signs of toughness that you see out of a guy like Otis, why people were so reluctant to try to sneak in and block him.
Is it true that he was the most feared pass rusher on that 85 team?
Well, that's hard to say, because whoever was put in a position to get to the quarterback was the most feared pass rusher on that specific play.
Think about what Tom just said. We're talking about a guy who had 10 and a half sacks, and he might not have been the most feared guy on the team. Wow. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller is here. So is 85 Bear Tom Thayer. Zach Sabin with you as well. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. As we look ahead to the 2016 Bears season, and guys, we're 2 weeks away from the Bears reporting to training camp, and really it's the first time that you start to learn who's got the ability, because it's one thing to show that you mentally get it during the offseason portion, but in training camp, the pads come on, and that's when you find out who the football players are. And that's important specifically when it comes to determining who can play on special teams. If you look at last year, Tom, early on in the year, the Bears struggled mightily on special teams before they were able to finally figure out who fit where, who could do what. And by the end of the year, they improved dramatically. But that early portion of the season really put them in a hole.
You know, Zach, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's such an important aspect of early season success. And it was pretty haunting early in the year. But again, Coach Rogers, the special teams coordinator, you got to learn your athletes. You have to learn what skills these guys have outside of their normal duties on offense and defense. And when you look at the athletes they have and Floyd and Jonathan Bull, I'm not passing up Cody Whitehair. It's just if he is in a regular rotation on the offensive line, he will be on extra point and field goal, but he's not probably won't be involved in the other special teams. But when you have Leonard Floyd and Bullard and Kotowski and Bush and Hall and Howard and the rest of the crew, the rookies, not to mention all of them, they are going to have to contribute. And a lot of these guys are going to have to forget what they were in college and make sure that they can come in here and contribute at a high level on special teams. Because if they're going to be game day active, if they're going to have an opportunity to earn a spot in this roster outside offense and defense play, it's going to be because they have the athleticism to play on special teams. Now, are you going to ask a defensive player to retreat 25 yards in a kickoff return and be able to get into a blocking position because they never do it? Just like, are you going to be able to teach an offensive player how to travel downfield to cover a punt and break down into a tackling position, which is so difficult? It sounds easy when you talk about it, but again, you have to have that early season organization and success on special teams, because that's going to win you a game. Just like we saw how it came back to hurt us last year early in the season, I think it's such an important aspect of this second year for John Fox. It's as important as any aspect of making sure you understand the defense, learning your role on offense, making sure you got the players in position that can go out there and earn spots, and you have to have veterans that are willing to go out there and compete just as aggressively as rookies coming out of college.
You know, the toughest thing, Jim, is you don't really find out what you've got until you actually play that first preseason game, because there's no real opportunity to mimic what you need to do on special teams at real speed until you play in that first preseason game.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm with Tom with everything that he said there. I mean, I certainly you want to foster a winning culture, right, with what the Bears have had over here. And winning is important. But at the same point, you need to throw these players, especially the young players, whether it's the draft picks, any free agents that are added on board, to understand what they can and cannot do. Here, Tom brings up a great point about special teams. You know, your third and fourth linebackers, your extra defensive backs, they're going to be on those coverage teams, and you know that. So the young players like DeAndre Hall or Deion Bush, you know, it's going to be encouraged by Jeff Rogers. Let's say if Robbie Gould is on kickoff, we know the new kickoff rule, you know, with the touchbacks. You're trying to encourage that return team to bring it out. You need to know if these guys can go down and cover. That's what you're trying to evaluate. So not that winning isn't important, but I think what's more important is that the coaches, the scouts, you know, you look at Ryan Pace, they want to evaluate what these guys are doing in terms of the competition and how they react to things in uncomfortable positions.
Now, Tom, they emphasized special teams this offseason, you know, not just in terms of the rookies that he drafted. You know, Kwiatkowski has that special teams mentality that you need, that linebacker kind of attitude. You know, DeAndre Houston Carson is a guy who had 9 blocked kicks in college, 9. You know, and he had to play special teams in college in addition to defense because, you know, they just didn't have the number of players that most of these big schools have. You know, one of the problems is that many of the high draft picks never even see time on special teams in college, and you have to readjust the brain when you come to the NFL.
You got to get over that hump, Zach. You got to be willing to do whatever they're asked of you to get on that football field. And I think special teams play specifically are a little bit more complex than people realize, because each of them have a specific design, just like any offensive play or any defensive play called out there. And they are assignment exact. And when you're trying to earn body position against a guy that's been in a 40-yard sprint and now you got to try to earn the correct shoulder, the right head placement, your hands inside, making sure everything stays legal, it's extremely difficult. Now take every one of these guys that are going to be asked to do special teams, and you increase the athleticism of every single guy they're going to see. Because, yeah, in special teams in college, you might have the luxury to carry 6 or 8, 9 guys on a college team that maybe they don't have the athleticism to be an everyday offense or defensive player, and that's part of their contribution to their college football team. Uh-uh, no more. At the NFL level, you're seeing the best of the best. That's why you saw guys like Devin Hester come come through the ranks and become, you know, a possible Hall of Famer because of his return game. And you have your eyes set on guys that you didn't know what to expect out of them because they've never had this challenge before. And so, I mean, it is a really, really difficult aspect for guys to really to learn the system correctly. But once you do, and once you understand it, it elevates your opportunity to earn a position and earn a spot on an NFL roster, you know, double, because now you're a three position player rather than just an inside linebacker or a safety or a wide receiver or a tight end. As soon as you increase your value, you're better for your football team.
And the Bears have had this millennium just a host of guys who formed a terrific special teams core over the years, whether it was Corey Graham or Israel Adonijé or Brendan Iheanacho. Do you know, just based on the tail end of last season, Tom, the veteran core heading into this training camp that the special teams coordinator, Jeff Rogers, is going to be looking at?
You know, I don't think it's set in stone, Zach, and that's a unique opportunity every one of these rookies are going to have. If you sat there and you finished special teams at, you know, top tier with a bunch of players that have been around 2 or 3 years, yeah, then Coach Rogers, he can plug each one of those guys in there. But it's about the competitiveness of your special teams, the competition on the field. Do you also increase your speed because you have a couple guys in college that maybe can fly or have the willingness to fly down the field? And I think that's going to be one of the funnest parts of the preseason to watch, is the competition on the special teams to see who's hungry and who wants it the most.
Yeah, so that really is the key determiner as you start to take a look at how training camp begins to unfold and these preseason games. It's the guys who make an impact on special teams during these preseason games that will form the back end of your roster, not necessarily a guy who lights it up in a training camp practice. You got to do more than just play your actual position if you're going to make the team on the second half of this roster. Jim Miller's here. So's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabeman. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get the latest updates and messages for your Chicago Bears all year long by signing up at chicagobears.com/emails. Coming up a little bit later on here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, we'll take a look at the rest of the NFC North and see what the other teams in the division have done this offseason. But, you know, they say that almost always the most popular quarterback in town is the backup quarterback. Jim would know. He was a very popular guy until he got the nod. Tom Thayer is here. Zach Zabeman with you as well. So let's talk a little bit, Jim, about the backup quarterback situation, because it is very fluid right now after Jay Cutler. They brought in Brian Hoyer, who has the experience with Dow Loggins. But after Hoyer, there's still three other quarterbacks that they're going to take a look at.
Yeah, got the college free agent Daylon Williams as well. Plus, as you mentioned, just picked up Connor Shaw off the waivers. And David Fales, who I thought, you know, last year, even though he was ill, much of the preseason, really made a strong statement, I believe, that last preseason game. But certainly the experience. You got to have the experience at the position. I do think Brian Hoyer brings that to the Chicago Bears. You know, even that the good year he had in Cleveland, I mean, they were on the cusp of being a playoff team. And then it went south. We understand the direction they went in. Reemerges down there for the Houston Texans, and people can say what they want. He did have a poor postseason game, but they were right there in the playoffs. And even Bill O'Brien, their head coach, you know, acknowledged that he made a mistake. Announced Brian Hoyer the starter, then he pulls him early for Ryan Mallett, and those were some of your issues down there. But I think Brian Hoyer is very savvy, understands his role, is a great teammate, and then I think those other guys will be competing for the third spot. You'd like to think that David Fales has an opportunity to stick, but I do think Connor Shaw can definitely come in there and challenge him. I think that's really where the battle is for the number three spot, potentially.
You know, Jim, how does Dow Loggins use his time wisely when you're continuing the development into this offense of Jay Cutler, but you also have the other quarterbacks that are, you want them to fall into place, not only reps on the practice field, but when in their individual periods, when they're by themselves or in the meeting room. And I know it's they're all together, but how do you keep them making sure they're actively involved mentally and physically?
Well, I think for them, they've got to be self-starters to begin with in terms of getting the mental reps where you're sitting behind a play, looking at Jay Cutler, the defense that he's being presented, the coverage, understanding the play, how the play is going to be read, what check is made. And you've always got to be testing yourself because that's really the part of the position. It's decision-making and being able to make quick decisions that are sound for your football team. I don't think, you know, a guy where Brian Hoyer is at or and even Jay Cutler, they probably don't need all the reps. They just need the work to get their work done. And then Dowell will roll those other guys in there when they've got opportunities to do so. I also think, Tom, that, you know, I hate when I go on the camp tour and let's say there is a special teams period going on and then you just see guys standing around at other positions. They don't get anything accomplished. You can go through and go through your drops and checks and where you're mentally testing a quarterback where, you know, that 15 or 20 minutes during a special teams period that you can be working on things to improve your game and honing your craft. I mean, there's far too many teams that don't maximize those type of periods for their quarterback.
You know, Jim, I wanted to ask you about this because you travel all these different camps. Tom and I basically stay with the Bears throughout the entire preseason. The virtual technology that NFL teams have started to use, do you feel like it legitimately helps quarterbacks?
I do, because you can actually have your backup quarterback, let's say, or even your third guy. Let's say they go through a practice and the third guy gets no reps, say, in the team period. Now you have a physical way to go in and test that third quarterback's decision-making. You know, is he throwing to the right? Let's say it's we call split right 82 semi, which is a 12-yard out concept. Tight end is either taking the middle versus cover two or taking the middle, I should say, versus cover two, cover three, runs the in-cut. Outside guys run the fade route, convert it to a fade. Is the quarterback, you can physically evaluate the decision of the quarterback with this virtual reality. Is he going to the right guy versus the right coverage? Say cover three, he should be thrown to the X. Say it's cover two, now he's working Y to Z. And you can evaluate that and physically put a number on it if he's making the right decision. And he would be put through all the same reps and defenses that Jay Cutler was presented. So absolutely, I think is beneficial. It's come to that time. I think more and more teams are doing it, and you can realistically get a good gauge of where your young quarterback and his decision-making is in the offense.
You know, it's a little different than the test that Otis Wilson was talking about taking the night before games.
Well, I mean, before games, a lot of times you do sit there, and the OC will go through the checks, and say your scripted plays. That was presented, you know, as a test. I've gotten the written test as well, where you got to draw up their blitzes and how you're going to handle it and what you're going to audible to. So I've been tested both ways. It's pretty funny, but they're just trying to hold you accountable. Hey, you got to hold players accountable.
Dowell Loggins was doing that throughout the offseason. Tom, he did not hesitate to take a player off the field if they didn't know what their responsibilities were in the offseason workouts.
Hey, you know, that's one of the things that is either going to give you an opportunity to make the football team, that you cannot suffer mental errors, no matter if you're a first-year guy or a fifth-year guy. And, you know, it's going to get you extra reps if they know that you're a guy you can count on against some of the toughest of scenarios. And that's when Jay's changing the play at the line of scrimmage. That is what we're all held up to, is making sure that we understand our assignments in every way, shape, or form.
When we come back, we'll take a look at the rest of the NFC North, see what the Packers, Vikings, and Lions have done this offseason with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, Zach Zaidman, Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago Bears Youth Football Camps, brought to you by Athletico and Gatorade, provide safe, non-contact instruction and fun. For summer camp schedule and locations, visit bearscamps.com. Tom Thayer is here, so is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman, Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So we focus so much on the Bears, but you can't look at just the Bears without taking a peek at the rest of the NFC North, because you have to win your division in order to really make some hay at the end of the season. So when you look, Jim, say, at what Green Bay has done this offseason, what Minnesota has done this offseason, as well as Detroit, what stands out about each particular club?
All right, I'll start with Detroit. I think basically Bob Quinn, their first-year general manager, is in the same position Ryan Pace was a year ago. What was the draft? He wanted bigger, stronger, faster guys. That's why you got Killebrew, the big safeties, like 6'2", 217. A'shaun Robinson, big defensive tackle. So that's the direction the Detroit Lions are going. In terms of Minnesota, they only lost 14 starts in terms of their players that they lost in free agency. You know, when you look at guys like Mike Wallace, he did nothing for him. He had 37 receptions, and they traded from Miami. So get Laquon Treadwell. He's probably the only rookie that has to have an impact, in my opinion, for them. Mackenzie Alexander, the defensive back. I mean, Trey Wayans, their first-round pick a year ago, didn't have an impact till the end of the season. So I think, you know, they'll bring him along the right way. But that is a strong, strong roster in Minnesota. For Green Bay, it's filling the holes. Obviously, getting back Jordy Nelson is huge for them. I think we know his impact and the touchdowns he can score, basically 16 touchdowns in a season, was taken out of that lineup. And they got more depth on the offensive line with the guys that they drafted. So they focused on the areas of weakness. And then every year they drafted inside backer. So now, you know, getting Blake Martinez, who they drafted from Stanford, Jake Ryan a year ago, drafted out of University of Michigan, now they honestly feel they've got the depth interior that they can put Clay Matthews back to the outside position on the outside, where he can do what he does best, which is rush the passer. I think everybody got better, but it, you know, certainly the gap is closing. Green Bay will be much stronger. Minnesota, I do believe, is going to be a very difficult team to beat. I really like that roster. But Bears, Lions, everybody got better and are closing in on that division.
And you can't help to think what a new stadium is going to do for Minnesota. Is that going to add back to that inner stadium noise interference that you had in the past? And then, again, Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, he's still thought of as one of the, you know, possible NFL MVP. But what is their running game going to contribute to him? If their offensive line doesn't come through and have a better season than they did last year, that was less abusive to the running game and less abusive to Aaron Rodgers, those are a couple of the obstacles that you have to overcome. And when you lose a receiver in Detroit like you did, that's a hard player to overcome, develop, or get that type of production in one season.
Yeah, you can't just find another Calvin Johnson. No. Not an easy guy to replace. Hey, guys, so much to talk about. We've got 2 weeks until training camp starts. Thank you so much. What an hour. Thanks to Otis Wilson for joining us, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaveman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcast available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by Comcast, PNC, and FanDuel.